It's episode 234 of BulaNetwork.com, the podcast. Cervical fusion isn't some new form of music. In fact, I experienced cervical fusion, and I will tell you about it next. Hey kids, my name is Randy Cantrell. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. I am your host here at BulaNetwork.com, coming to you from Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. This is episode 234. You can find the show notes at BulaNetwork.com. That's B-U-L-A network.com/234. I know it sounds musical, cervical fusion, but I promise you that there is nothing musical about it. I think the technical term for it is ACDF, anterior cervical discectomy and fusion. And there is a link in the podcast show notes that will take you in, if you're medically curious, and explain more of that. You'll likely hear me making some lip sounds and mouth noises that I normally do not make. And since I'm not a real fan of lots of editing, if any, those will be in here. So, if I smack my lips, it's because I have a raging sore throat. Because the incision, well, the incision is in your neck. Yeah, you believe that? They go in through the front. And they work on your cervical spine. And it is, yeah, it's kind of scary a little bit, especially when in pre-op they send this person in who informs you that they are going to be, they're unraveling these little wires with probes on the end, that they're going to be monitoring your spinal cord during the surgery. And you want that. You clearly want that. But you know that this ain't no rock and roll show. This is very serious business. I was first diagnosed about 10 years ago by the man who gave me scars, Dr. James Vincent Bonnet. Dr. Bonnet had performed surgery on both of my elbows, and so when a bit of numbness hit my left little finger about a decade ago, well, he just seemed the guy to go to. I trusted him. He suspected a bulging disc in my neck, and he sent me first off to a neurologist to do a nerve conduction study. And so off I went, and sure enough, the doctor did the nerve conduction study and some other tests and figured out I had, I had what he deemed a slight bulging disc. I asked, you know, what causes it? Just likely wear and tear, age. The symptoms weren't very severe. It was just real slight numbness on the outside of my, you know, my left hand that ran kind of the, up the backside of my little finger. And so because the symptoms weren't very severe, I just went through some physical therapy. And in time, that numbness, by the way, went away. Now, fast forward about 7 years or more, and Dr. Bonnet contracted cancer and he passed away. And by the way, he was a good doctor and I liked him very much. In a way, I guess whatever way a patient can love a doctor, I loved Dr. Bonnet. In fact, I wrote a post and did a podcast dedicated to him. And again, you can find links to that over at the notes to this episode, 234. Well, back in February of this year, an old shoulder injury that occurred when I was 24 reared its ugly head. And, well, it bit me very hard, and it flung me all around the room one night, just out of the blue. I mean, over 34 years without any incident, no pain, no aches, no nothing in this right shoulder. And then all of a sudden, yeah, I found myself in the ER, in the emergency room. Turns out the shoulder had very severe arthritis that had been brought about by this injury years earlier. Now, as a self-employed person, I have health insurance, but I've got an insanely high deductible. And for those of you that are not in the United States, I can tell you that it doesn't take long to go through money when you need health care here. Obamacare, in my opinion, is a colossal failure and will do nothing but wreck an already broken system, but that's another story. My story involves forking over 10 grand out of pocket before insurance kicks in. And so that prompts me now to approach my new shoulder orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Bing Cy. It is pronounced C-Y. It is spelled T-S-A-Y. Well, hey, sing to me, Bing. And he did. He told me that he really couldn't explain the severity of my shoulder pain. But since I had hit my deductible, I went to see him one day after countless procedures and MRIs. And I asked him, is there any reason that I shouldn't just get this taken care of now? And that's when he introduced me to what is called the open Mumford procedure, shoulder surgery. They carve off a smidgen of your collarbone, and they go in there and they clean out bone spurs and that sort of stuff. And this surgery, by the way, went very well. Dr. Tsai found a shoulder, however, that was a lot worse than the MRI might indicate. Lots of bone spurs and arthritis. He even fished out a loose bone fragment. And within days, I was pretty much experiencing full range of motion and things that he told me might take weeks. You know, I've almost always done, in fact, I will tell you, I have always done extremely well with surgery during and after. And I really don't do too terribly badly before either. Sleepless nights, but I have sleepless nights even if I don't have surgery scheduled, so that's no big deal. At my final visit with Bing, I bring up this 10-year-old neck issue, and I ask about seeing a colleague, Dr. Timone. Now, Dr. Timone did back surgery on my daughter some years ago when she suffered a car wreck, and she really liked Dr. Timone, and he was a colleague of Dr. Tsai. They both worked in the same office. In fact, it was her recommendation that even led me to their practice. It's a practice that's in Southlake, Texas. It's called All Star Orthopedic, and I can't recommend them highly enough. Now, that's Dr. Timone and Dr. Tsai. They are the second and the third from the left when you land on the home page for All Star Orthopedic. They're different, but I like them both. And of course, you have to keep in mind that I seem to have a man crush on orthopedic surgeons, because I now have four of them in my life, or I've had four of them in my life, and they are all, well, they're all the men who gave me scars that were intended to heal me and to make me better, and mostly I would say they have succeeded. So, hey, they're the appropriate people to have man crushes on, I suppose. So now here I am. I'm sitting in front of Dr. Timone, who specializes in neck and spinal cord stuff. Dr. Tsai specialized in elbows, shoulders, you know, those kinds of joints. So two different doctors in a significantly large practice that specializes, as you would say, all-star orthopedic. I mean, they're all stars, and I guess they assume that their patients want to think of themselves as being all stars as well. And so, you know, most doctors try a conservative approach whatever the first treatment is going to be. And that was no different. In my gut, I knew that when Dr. Timone was going to try this conservative approach, that it wasn't likely going to work because, come on, I've suffered this neck stuff for about 10 years plus. No matter, I go with his advice and we try all the conservative measurements and yeah, nothing touched it. Nothing worked. And so finally, I have the same talk with him that I had with Dr. Tsai. Now, one other reason that I really needed to go through the conservative approach is because I was still recovering from the shoulder surgery. It's not like you want to go into one surgery right after another one if you can help it. This is, you know, it's elective surgery, but it's not completely elective. I mean, I needed to have it done. So I had the same talk with him that I had with Dr. Tsai. Any reason to not fix this now? And he said, no, not really. I mean, it's not going to get any better on its own. And so that's when I sat down with a person in their office who schedules surgery. And lest you think that my man crush on orthopedic surgeons, because I view them as being godlike, with no need to have any help from the little people, well, you would be wrong, because there's a gal in the All-Star Ortho office, the scheduler, who does an extremely, well, she does more than schedule. That's her title. You know that I'm fanatical about customer service. And in this case, it's patient experience. Her name is LaDonna, and she is crazy good. And office staffs, I think in medical offices particularly, they can sometimes become surly. And frankly, who could blame them? I mean, you're dealing all day with people who likely don't feel very well, and that has to just take a heavy toll on anybody. I wouldn't want to do it. I'm a pretty good patient, though, and that's likely the result of years of experience in dealing with the public and lots of people. So the last thing that I want to do is cause somebody unnecessary grief. But Once in a while, you run into a remarkable person like LaDonna, somebody who just extends themselves to be helpful, somebody who just performs at a higher rate than most. And that has been my experience with LaDonna. So LaDonna helps me through the maze of insurance issues and scheduling conveniences. And we finally hit on Monday, August the 4th at 8:45 a.m. Done. Book it. So we arrive at the private hospital. We get up at the crack of dawn, and we arrive in the hospital in Dallas, Texas at about 6:30 a.m. And by 7:30 a.m., I am in pre-op, and I'm watching this person untangle lots of little wires with probes that will monitor my spinal cord. And if memory serves well, and it may not, given that I was in surgery after all, by 10 a.m., it was over. Dr. Timon came in, told my wife, Rhonda, that it was worse than the MRI showed. Well, no big surprise there. That's almost always the case with me in these kinds of deals. And so Rhonda asks him, so he wasn't being a wimp. Nope, says Dr. Timon. He removed the damage between C5 and C6 and also between C6 and C7. And in place of that damage, he inserted some cage with bone taken from my left hip. You can Google it and find some pretty disgusting pictures and video and diagrams. And no, I'd rather not look at those right now. And I really just don't want to post them here. And I don't want to link to them because, you know, it's too much knowledge can be a bad thing. What it amounts to is a plate with six holes for six screws. That's two each in C5, C6, and C7. That plate is placed across all three vertebrae, and, well, that makes sure that it's stable from here on out, hopefully. The pain wasn't really pain. It was mostly discomfort, and it was mostly all across my shoulders. Nurses just would respond, "That's typical and to be expected." But, you know, worse than that, raging sore throat. Again, to be expected, said all the nurses. The breathing tube that's, you know, snaked down your throat. Well, and you have had an incision in your neck, and that may contribute to it somewhat. And they are pulling your vocal cords and other things out of the way so that they can work. And so there is that pressure. Right now, that's the biggest issue, the sore throat. Swallowing is really hard. Well, it's not that it's hard. It hurts. Fortunately, no pain meds were necessary. I was up walking the hall within an hour, and I walked and I walked and I walked and I walked some more, all whilst eating ice, lots of ice. I eat a lot of ice anyway, but I was not even pacing myself in my ice eating escapades after surgery. I was an ice eating machine. They had soft ice, which made it great. Well, it just made my throat feel better. So I'm just munching on ice, and I'm walking and I'm walking and I'm walking and I'm walking. Nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing helped the shoulder pain. Now, I was chalking the shoulder pain up to, and nobody explained it to me, but then again, I didn't ask. I was chalking the shoulder pain up to the muscle straining because of the surgery, the incision, all the adjustments that a body has to make during trauma. Surgery is trauma. And it wasn't until Dr. Timon's PA, Michelle, another spectacular person at All Star Orthopedic, Michelle, she entered the room, and I find out that the real reason for all the shoulder pain. Well, you're cinched down to the table during surgery, so you won't move. Well, duh. That made perfect sense. And then I felt stupid because that had never crossed my mind. I mean, it just never crosses your mind that, you know, we kind of need to put your whole body in this vice grip. I mean, come on, anything that's got proximity to the spinal cord, you can't move at all. And so Michelle, like all the folks that I have encountered at All Star Ortho, another remarkable service provider, she came to release me from the hospital, and that's when she informed me that, well, that's why you're having shoulder pain. She was also the one who went through the extensive pre-surgery education with me in Dr. Timon's office some days prior. You know, she brought in I'm brain dead here, and it's not from meds. I haven't been taking meds. It's from lack of sleep. She brought in the little model, you know, the little model of a spine cord, and it's got the plate, and it's got six screws attached. And so she's showing me, she's educating me, she's telling me exactly what they're going to be doing, and goes over the hip thing and all that. Well, today it's Wednesday, and it's about 8:30 a.m. My calves are ridiculously sore, and you're going to have to pardon me. Now my nose has decided to start running. See, this is what happens when you try to podcast when you've just been released from the hospital. Probably not a smart thing to do, but I'm not under medication. So, hey, why not? I don't have to worry about saying something. Well, start to say I don't have to worry about saying something stupid. I have to worry about saying something stupid when I'm not drugged. My calves, man, my calves are just ridiculously sore. Now, yesterday, the right calf was sore. Today, they're just crazy sore. And nobody told me, but I can tell you, I know. It's from being pinned to the table. I mean, they had to put my legs in clamps or something because I'm walking like an old man on my heels today. Well, I am an old man back on his heels. Hey, Lord willing, I'll be back on my toes, though, in no time. I'll still be old, but I can't shower for 4 days. I can't drive for 2 weeks. No aspirin, no blood-thinning painkillers like Aleve for 6 months. And my next visit in the office is August the 18th with Dr. Timone. And so I don't really anticipate any hurdles. I just have to keep fighting the fight. Got to keep moving. Got to work out the kinks and the soreness. And come on, isn't that what we all have to do in life? Keep moving. Keep grinding it out. Sure. Eat a bunch of ice on the way. Hey, let me tell you, let me end this. This is going to be a shorter episode, obviously, by telling you some of the changes that I'm going to put that I'm thinking of making around here, but some of these, they're not just what I'm thinking about doing. They're what I'm going to do. Let's begin with the rebranding that I've probably just browbeat you with by now. I'm still working on this. I'm still working through it is probably the more appropriate way to say it. Because honestly, I'm not sure what to do, except that I want a podcast here and I want the podcast here to mirror the work that I do. Now, the work that I do is pretty diverse, and that's my dilemma. Because I do a lot of things to help executives and businesses excel, and it doesn't all fall under coaching, nor does it all fall under consulting. It's almost always a mixture of the two. Sometimes it's clearly just one or the other, and that makes it hard for me to figure this out. Higher human performance is still, I think, the best depiction of it, but you know, I don't know if that's strong enough for marketing purposes. I really don't. And I also told you already that I have Leadership Moxie, M-O-X-Y, a weekly podcast. That's still what I want to produce here. And I'm still pretty stuck on making it a 30-minute give or take format. I'm not hardcore on that, but I see it as being a 30 to 40-minute kind of an ordeal. I would like to release the shows, I think, on Tuesdays or Thursdays, but I can't tell you why. Well, other than the fact that I find myself downloading mostly on those days, I don't have any empirical evidence to support Tuesday or Thursday release dates. And so I probably should do some research, and I plan to do that. And I'm sure Libsyn and Blueberry and other media host providers, I'm sure, and no telling how many other people, have data about which days are typically the best to release a podcast. But, you know, I suppose every crowd is different and every topic is different. And frankly, I'm open to test it. And that's probably what I should do. Now, while I would love to investigate a partner to banter with, and I've talked about that, I don't think I'm going to dive into that murky water because, well, it's just too dangerous. Chemistry is a really fragile thing. And maybe I'm wrong, but it's either there or it's not. And I've lived long enough to know that. Well, I know how rare it is in the real world to have great chemistry with somebody who gets it, they get you, and somebody that you get. And then if you find that, if you're lucky enough to find that and you insert recording into the process or a microphone, that can change things. And I just don't want to risk it. And besides, for over 7 or 8 years now, I have done this stuff alone, so it'd likely be tough for me to change right now. As for cover art and logo stuff, well, you know, listen, when you don't have a show title yet, those things just have to wait. I mean, first I need a great show summary, something that properly describes the content of whatever this show will be. And then I need a great title. And after that, I can worry about cover art. What I am going to do, I am going to move Saturday's Smile and Freeform Friday over to leaningtowardwisdom.com. That's my other site, my other podcast, leaningtowardwisdom.com. Those two features, pardon me while I swallow, those two features just seem more congruent over there. And I'm sure people look at those things with bewilderment. And there are posts just like this one that are at BulaNetwork.com. And these will now be over at Leaning Toward Wisdom. I'm not going to put them here. Well, for instance, that post about the man who gave me scars, a tribute to Dr. Bonnet, who passed away, that appears here at BulaNetwork.com. Likely would be better at LTW, at Leaning Toward Wisdom, than here. And so in the future, that's what's going to happen. I am planning to keep things here more professional. You know, the personal stuff, I'm going to try to keep the personal stuff over at LeaningTowardWisdom.com. And you can subscribe to that podcast at iTunes and Stitcher, and there's all kind of links, so you can visit over there if you choose to, leaningtowardwisdom.com. I'm not going to remove all the history and all the stuff that I've already done here at BulaNetwork.com. I'm not going to migrate it over to LTW. That's too cumbersome, too much work, and frankly, I'm not interested. I'm just going to draw a line in the sand today on August the 6th, 2014, and say that the new habit is going to be fulfilled over at Leaning Toward Wisdom. And so starting this Saturday, you'll have to visit LTW, leaningtowardwisdom.com, to find Saturday's smile. Now, of course, you can always follow my Pinterest account and see those. Saturday smiles are usually just four single panel cartoons, and they are going to be comprised of Ballard Street or Herman. And most of them are going to be Ballard Street because I am a Ballard Street cartoon junkie. It's hands down, in my opinion, the best cartoon ever created as far as a single panel cartoon. Freeform Friday. Freeform Friday is a special episode that I record on the last Friday of each month, and I produce that here at BulaNetwork.com. I'm moving that too. That will no longer be here. So on the last Friday of every month, when I record this Freeform Friday episode, which is really an episode about just kind of whatever strikes me that day, I'm going to produce that over at leaningtowardwisdom.com. So do not look for those two things here at BulaNetwork.com, because I'm moving those things. And all those changes, frankly, those are easy to make, because Bula Network LLC is the business name, and so it just makes sense to keep the business stuff right here and move that other stuff over to LTW, Leaning Toward Wisdom. And so far, that's it. That's all that I have decided. I would love to hear your thoughts about it. You can go over to the website and use the contact page and send me a note, let me know. But right now, that's it. That's all I've decided to do. So right now, it's about taking it easy and keep walking and keep chewing ice and all that good stuff. The biggest kind of disappointment is whether or not I'm going to be able to make podcast movement here in Dallas, Texas, the weekend of August the 16th, because I still won't be able to drive, and it probably just won't be a good thing. So, you know, we'll just have to play it by ear and see. I was hoping to meet a ton of people. It's one of those things, I don't care so much about whatever the topics are going to be. I would rather just kind of go loiter in the hall. I jumped in on the early part of that, well, because it was here in Dallas and it was podcasting and I wanted to support it. I supported the Kickstarter campaign. So I did get my ticket cheap, and I think the ticket involves some sort of virtual thing. So I guess they're going to be recording the session, so I'll at least have that. But even when you get that, you just get the content. You don't get the interaction. You don't get to meet people. And I was really hoping to get to do that. And I'm just not sure if I want to be the guy roaming around with a neck brace on. But, you know, we'll have to see how it works out over the next few weeks. So, hey, that's it from me, Randy Cantrell, Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, inside the L Studio.